We will be turning to Proverbs for our two lead-in text passages. I have a picture up there that has nothing to do with my message this evening, so it's just something pretty to look at when you're looking up at the screen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And then turning further in the book to Proverbs 29 and verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Let's look again to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your love towards us, for your blessings, for your word, O Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you provide all that we need in this life through your Son. We thank you that we have your word that shows forth your Son to us, Lord. I pray that our hearts would be open, that we would receive of your word this evening, that you would give me the words that I need to speak, Lord, that they would be from you and of you, Lord. I pray that you would bless each one here in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, even though we read those verses, technically our topic tonight is not about pride. It's not about humility, but we will be focusing on more of submission. However, I don't think we can talk about submission without first pointing out that pride is something that has no place for someone to be submissive. There's really kind of to distill it down to a very simple viewpoint. As Christians, we can choose two paths. We can choose to be prideful, which then leads to rebellion, which leads to separation from God, which leads to judgment. And then we can choose to be humble, which leads to submission, which leads to obedience, which leads to closer fellowship with God. And then blessing, his blessing. I think you could probably, you know, chop that up in some other ways, but that's kind of the most simplistic way I could distill it down to for this evening. So we'll be looking at submission, and that's something that, you know, we could, as Christians, we could choose to be prideful. We could choose to walk in that rebellious nature, this flesh, and we could have that choice before us each day if we aren't walking in the Spirit. And I think that's the big could be and if. We could have that as a choice each day presented to us if we aren't already making that choice to walk in the Spirit. So with that, I'll point out that Brother Joel this morning covered a couple of topics that I'm glad he covered, because those are tough items. If you weren't here, he touched on Satan, the accuser of the brethren, and there's no place for that in our lives. God judges, God knows, and if we have insight from Him, if the leading of the Spirit, we may be put in a position where we might point out and have some form of judgment that God would give to us for a brother in Christ if they aren't walking with God. But that is not what God would have for us to be in that place, in agreement with Satan. And then also he touched on just slightly on order and you know, Moses being that one that was set as the leader of the children of Israel, and that those under him were not to, think themselves more highly or more prepared, more knowledgeable, to know what God would have for the children than what Moses would knew, because God had that face-to-face conversation with Moses. So there was an order there. We're not going to touch on order tonight. Really, it's just a reminder of our need to have that humbleness of heart and that submissive spirit, so that we can have that opportunity to serve and draw closer to God. So just some reminders this evening on that. And we'll begin with looking at the pattern that we have. The primary example is the submission of Christ. And I also want to mention, so that I don't forget later, that it's a privilege to be submissive to God's word, to his order, to what he has for us. It's a privilege, and it's a privilege that we need to make sure we are laying hold of and not having disdain for. So we'll begin looking at Christ and some of the ways that he demonstrated submission. And we know that Christ, he was God, and it was not robbery to be equal with God. In Philippians 2, chapter 2, and beginning in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Christ made himself of no reputation, meaning that he emptied himself. He did not become not God. He was still God, but he emptied himself of the glory. I don't know, I can say privileges again, but the glory that he had. John 17, verse 5, I don't think I have that up there. John 17, and verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So submission begins with a willingness to lay down ourselves, to lay down what we consider us, what we have, to humble ourselves and not have high esteem of ourselves, not think of ourselves as being all that, I guess. But Jesus, he was God, and he set down his rights there, I guess, so to speak, and he emptied himself and became as we were. Coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient. And that's something that submission and obedience and pride and rebellion, those are, I guess, inward and outward. I guess you could say I could have a prideful heart and show through some obedience that, I kind of am going along, but I could still be haughty of heart. Or I could be submissive and humble of heart and obedient. Or the other way, again, I could be prideful and rebellious then. And we want to be inwardly submissive and outwardly obedient as well, for others to see that testimony. So turning to John 6 verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And then turning to Luke 22:42, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So Jesus did not do his own will. He did the will of the Father, which their wills were aligned. "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So Jesus was in alignment with the Father. He was submissive to the Father's will. He felt that weight that was to come, yet he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So he was submissive unto death, submissive to the will of the Father, and he showed that forth in his obedience and his submission even unto the cross. And as Christ submitted to the cross, that opened the gate for us. He did the will of the Father. He fulfilled that judgment, that requirement for judgment, that we might enter in to the fullness through Christ Jesus. But as he was here on this earth prior to submission to the cross, he had to submit to parents. Luke 2, verse 51, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them." He was subject to his parents. And, we can have our opinions about our parents. They can be imperfect. They can make mistakes. But they are our parents, and we are to be subject to them as the Lord has that in his plan, in his will. And Christ was subject to his parents as well. We also see that he was subject to the government authority. We know that there's a time where they were going to the temple and there was going to be a tax collected, a temple tax. And Jesus sent Peter to pull a fish and pay the temple tax with what he found in that fish. And then in the verse I have up there, Matthew 22:21, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." This again is talking about taxes and being under the authority of government. But in the most important way that he submitted to this human government, Isaiah 53:7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." And this gets back to his submission to the will of the Father. But in that submission, he had to submit to those in authority in this world and allow that process to occur. In Hebrews 5:8, it says, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." And we know that Christ fulfilled the law, that law that came down by Moses to the children from God. That law was a taskmaster. It was a teacher, there was submission that was required and obedience required in to fulfill that law, and Christ fulfilled it perfectly. He fulfilled that law, and he did not speak out against them and say this isn't right. He didn't gather his folks. Peter cut off a man's ear when they came to take him away, and Jesus told him that wasn't needed, and he went with them without protest, without fighting back. So Christ was submissive in this life and obedient to the Father's will. And as we continue on, we'll take some of those same types, talking points that we had on Christ for ourselves. James 4:6-7. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I think this is important, that it says that he will give grace to the humble, therefore submit to God. God resists the proud. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You cannot resist the devil if you're not already submitting to God. And God's the one who resists the devil. Again, I think Joel was the one that mentioned this, in that the archangel Michael did not speak against the devil. He did not try to resist the devil himself. It was God that he invoked. And so we're not the ones that are, so to speak, having to roll up our sleeves, really. We are called to engage in the spiritual warfare, but it's not in and of ourselves. It's not our strength. It's not our wisdom that we bring to this. It is God's. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So here we see that rebellion, that unwillingness to submit and obey, is likened to witchcraft and idolatry. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And I guess what I would say, and I'll try to speak up louder. I see David back there with his hand on his ear. So I'll try to speak up a little bit louder. Witchcraft, rebellion, hand in hand. Why is that? Well, I think potentially it's because you're trying to come out with a different outcome than what God would have for you. You're looking for a different answer. You want to be able to control something differently than what God would have for you. God places value on obedience and submission more than the rituals that were in the law of that day. It was the heart that he was looking to, and not the outward act. And again, as I mentioned previously, we can be rebellious in our heart, but seen as following and being obedient around others. So as we look at it, it's not just following the rules, but it's really what's in our heart as we obey. Romans 12:1, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified version. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And the New King James Version, I believe, says reasonable service. And I think it's the ESV, and I don't remember if it was Darby or Young's Literal Translation. They both use intelligent. It is, if you think through, what did God do for us? What have we been given through Christ Jesus? And as we think about that, it would be logical. It would be a rational conclusion that, yes, we should worship God. We should present our bodies to God, dedicating ourselves to God. That should be reasonable. So with this, it says, present yourself as a living sacrifice. And this is a daily decision, a daily thing that we have to do. Presenting ourselves willing to do His will, seeking His will, willing to submit ourselves daily to His will. Luke 9:23, then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. That's hard. That can be hard. This flesh does not want to deny itself. But I'll go back to a statement I said earlier. If we walk in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Moving on. Romans 13 verses 1 and 2. This is also kind of hard, and this is what we see so in our face, so dominant in the news media today, is going against, rebelling against the governing authorities. Romans 13:1-2, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. God has set up those authorities. God has set up those who rule over us, and for us to rebel against those rulers, against those that are set above us, is to rebel against God, to rebel against His will and the order that He has placed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We are to be submit ourselves to the authorities in this government. We may not always agree. David mentioned this morning as well. We can try to put through pass laws and other things because we think this is what would make the society better. We disagree with what this is, so we're going to, you know, do this instead or try to get this changed instead. And that doesn't work. We need to look to the Lord in prayer. We need to bring these things before God and trust God has a plan, has a purpose, knows what we need. And he's used rulers that are ungodly people to do his will, to carry forth his plan. And those rulers have also suffered judgment because of their willingness to do the things that they've done, to punish God's people, their willingness and readiness to do so. But God has an order, and God has for us to be submissive. So yes, we do need to pay our taxes. We do, I think, you know, we should be respectful. And, you know, if we were to ever meet the president, it's, you know, Mr. President, it's not whatever else we want to say. That's something that is for us, that God has laid forth. We need to be respectful of those in authority, submissive. I'll skip a little bit here, but just to say that when we submit, we are not submitting to go against what God does not have for us. We're not obeying to sin. That is not what submission means and obedience means. It is to the order that God has for us. But as we follow, as we walk in the Spirit, he will reveal to us what we need to know and what we need to do and not do. Hebrews 13:17. I'll try to wrap down here. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And I think that's important. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. We can grieve those who have been set over us in the church. We can grieve them by our attitudes, what we say, what we think, how we act outwardly. We can grieve them. And that's not in that position. That's hard. That's hard for them. For that would be unprofitable for you. And in doing so, by doing that, we aren't growing. We aren't receiving what we need. So that obedience, again, having confidence in those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. That's a big responsibility for those who are in authority, as those who must give account, because there will be an accounting. And so with that, we need to be submissive to the leaders, our spiritual leaders of the assembly, because we trust that they are watching out for us. We trust that they are doing as it says here. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And this is I guess I would put it all caps, you know, with flashing lights, in love. They are doing it in love, and we should be showing forth love as well in all that we do. There's, again, there's lots of things when it comes to submission, and we can have, we can disagree with what we think is wrong, but we need to bring that before the Lord, and the Lord needs to tell us that that's wrong before we just say it's wrong. We need to be submissive to those in authority over us. And this, I think, kind of brings it out kind of closer to home here with Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that's kind of the all-encompassing submitting one to another in the fear of God. And as I said earlier, if you continue reading in Ephesians in this chapter 5, in chapter 6, you'll see submission the godly order that is has been laid forth for families, for wives, for husbands, for children, and we'll read this in more detail in Colossians here, but I can't tell you how many times I've made mistakes as a father, as a husband, and those mistakes, sometimes they were done out of ignorance, sometimes they were done out of anger, and that's not something I'm proud of, but in the end, as my children being brought up in our household, in the end, I was still their dad, still their father, and they needed to be submissive and obedient to the authority in that household, to their mom and their dad. And, you know, we can make some poor decisions sometimes, but that's not, you know, we're not perfect. But as a husband, as a father, hopefully those poor decisions I make are on me. They're not causing harm to my children or my wife. They are something that I've done, and for the most part, they're between me and God. In the end, there's that godly order, and I would say the same for those in authority in the local assemblies. Colossians 3:18-25, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So when we are submitting to those in authority, to that government authority, to that local assembly authority, to those authority in the homes, ultimately we are submitting to and serving Christ. And let's see here. Acts 5:29. I'll go ahead and close out here. I had some other items, but I'll close out. Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostles And this was when the apostles were once again on trial. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And that's really when it comes down to our submission and our obedience. Ultimately, we ought to obey God rather than men. An example that we have, and I'll just mention it and not turn there, but an example that we have where we know that the children of, or the Hebrew children that were taken into bondage under that King Nebuchadnezzar and that empire there, they had many hard things to go through, and they had, we saw obedience to the authorities there, but in Daniel 3, we see that story, that occurrence of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they refused to bow down to the king, and that was in obedience to God. That's where I would say, God has to, we have to be trusting God. We have to be submitting to God, and we receive the leading from God of what we do. John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Galatians 5:16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's all I have this evening.